Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Should have told you by now.
We're back. It's 12 after. Thank you very much for being part of our day. Jorian Clark is with us. She's our good friend and our guest this half hour, and she's the president and the founder of a company called Spectracom. She helps, as I said earlier, she helps companies and of different sizes all over the country and halfway around the world put their best foot forward online. And she does that for us when she joins us on the show. And we're going to get her to talk to us about that right now. Jorian Clark, welcome back.
Well, good morning, Jim, and thanks for having me on again.
Good to have you back, as always. Jorian, you help other people put their best foot forward online. And that's one of the reasons, besides the fact that you're a really cool lady, we want you to help us with that today. What do you got for us?
Well, I thought I would talk, even though we're rapidly leaving spring and we're moving into summer, I thought it'd be a good time to talk about site spring housekeeping.
Okay.
You know, frequently sites get added onto, and before you know it, the navigation becomes confusing. There becomes a lot of content that's hard to find. And you usually see it because your email starts going up with people asking for information that already exists on your website, but they just can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's also some simple things, and I've got to say, the reason why I feel strongly about this is we just did this on our own website, and my guys here are scrambling quickly.
So your cobbler's children actually have new shoes, don't they?
Well, they will in a couple of weeks. You know, you always have to look at yourself first to figure out what you should tell others. Here's a couple of things that people just might want to take a note of. For example, most people forget to change their copyright date on their website as the year turns over.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you want to have that current because that's what protects the content that you've posted. Another thing is a privacy statement. Especially as the world is getting a little more complex, I don't know if you are aware right now, but there's a push for regulation of email, and most of the insiders think that before the end of the year, we'll have some sort of legislation to try to block some spam.
Right. What do you think about that?
Well, I've been involved in this legislation process before, and part of the challenge in trying to legislate technology is that it moves so quickly that couldn't be two more opposite speeds, government legislation and internet technology.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that is I do think that it is time to put some standards into practice, because there's two groups of emailers, the fraudulent and pornographic. For example, I don't know how many septic system emails you get, but I sure get a lot more than I want. And then, of course, there's the permission-based opt-in email, which is most of what all of us good guys are doing.
Right.
But it is important. There's two challenges. One is, as soon as you try to legislate, the bad guys will go offshore where the laws don't apply. But the other issue is it will help slow down some of those misuses of the Internet service providers where people are sending 9 million emails a day. And I get myself about 300 emails a day, which makes my email not very effective as a tool. It takes me 15 to 20 minutes every morning just to go through and get rid of the junk.
Right.
And the spam filters right now are not advanced enough to be able to not have what's called some false positives, you know, where they delete something that you meant to get.
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, technology or legislation will help. On the other hand, I think the industry is moving forward in creating better, more user-friendly filters to help sort of get rid of some of that stuff before you even have to look at it.
Yeah, it's really annoying. In any given day, you know, I get dozens and dozens of spam. Now, the interesting thing is most of the time it comes overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you wake up in the morning, you know, basically I can just go through and delete, you know, several, you know, like 25 or 30 spam. They're all there together. But as you say, occasionally there's one good one in the middle of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And I have accidentally deleted things that I shouldn't have.
Oh, that explains why you didn't call me back.
Exactly. Must have been one of yours. But you know what I do, though, is I put them in the trash, and then a lot of times I go back and look at what I just did in the trash and before I actually throw it all the way away. But
those are good practices to do. The problem is those are just time consuming.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You're right. Let's get back to the freshening up of our site.
Sure.
One of the things that not having a fresh site does is it makes the visitor think that you don't really care sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. And generally speaking, usability experts say that we with the brains our sizes are can only grasp about 5 to 7 clumpings of information. Mm-hmm. We refer to them as buckets of information. So it's best as you're freshening up your website to think about the fact that you need to help people quickly find what they're looking for. And if you think about it, for example, if you look at a newspaper, that's why they have headers, you know, headlines, subheads, mm-hmm. call-outs of things. And you can do the same thing on your own website redesign as well, too.
Right. All right.
Another thing that's really important is if you do have a newsletter, opt-in newsletter on your site, most folks change their email, so you should expect anywhere from a 25 to 50% attrition rate mm-hmm. in the quality of your email list. But if your folks are coming to your website, for example, like yours, Jim, where there's articles to read and so on, you might want to, from time to time, do a little pop-up that just reminds people, you know, if you haven't seen our newsletter for a while, it might be we don't have your latest email. Click here and update your record.
Uh-huh.
And that way you help the user easily tell you what they've changed to with an email address. You don't have to wait for them to have to sign up again.
But pop-ups are a little controversial too, aren't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's pop-up blocking software, but there's a way to program it so that it doesn't get blocked by the software.
Right. But sometimes people don't like pop-ups, though.
Mm-hmm. I think the way that they need to be created is in a non-intrusive way.
It doesn't pop up in the middle of the page. Try to get it where it pops up in the lower right or something
right.
like that.
Right. Exactly. Where someone can keep on reading, but now this is just sub-information that's available but doesn't
right.
keep them from doing the task they wanted to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, one of my computers has a little program reminder that pops up where the program reminds me that I might be doing something I shouldn't be doing or whatever, and it doesn't take my attention away. It doesn't block what I'm doing. It just sort of comes up in my peripheral vision, so to speak.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right.
Okay, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, we're visiting with our good friend Jorian Clark, the founder and the president of Spectracom.com. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. Jorian Clark is our guest. And our good friend, and she's the author, president and the founder of Spectracom.com. Jorian, tell us what Spectracom.com is.
We are a full-service e-marketing company, so that means we can help people from the start with strategy as well as research to identify their target audience and what mm-hmm. they're doing, all the way to the back end. You know, we design, we program, we host, we help promote it, and then we also measure it to help you figure out how effective your investment has been.
All right.
So we can either offer the full range, the full suite of services, or people can just use the particular service that they need at the time.
And you can also help them with that decision, too, can't you?
Yes.
And, folks, I can promise you, if you only need chocolate, they won't try to sell you vanilla, too. So Jorian's and her organization are top shelf, I promise you that. And so you can feel confident that if you ask them to help you with what you need, they'll give you what you need and not any more. Jorian, now if somebody wanted to contact you, they can email you from the website?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You want to give us a phone number?
Sure. It's 1-888-272-7742.
One more time.
888-272-7742.
All right. Sounds good. Okay, we're doing some house cleaning. We're doing some spring cleaning
sure.
on our website.
Sure. Now, another thing is to rethink, starting at the beginning, maybe this is time to rethink your strategy for your website. A lot of us have put up what we call informational websites, And maybe it's time to move or evolve from informational to actual transactional.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you're in a B2C, a business-to-consumer type business, you may want to look at if your current distribution channels, let's say you sell into a retail environment, if they are not concerned anymore about you selling direct, you can begin to put up a store to sell products. If they are, then you can look at other things that they may not be in conflict with to help you build your experience and your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be, for example, replacement parts. That might be if you have a wide product range, but people maybe only carry about 20% of your product range, you might put up those customizable things or the things that aren't on the shelf in the retail stores. We sometimes call them the third-tier brands.
Mm-hmm.
You might also
another thing, Jorian, is our own companies morph during any given year.
Yes.
And we were leading with last year, all of a sudden we look back and we say, wait a minute, we haven't offered that in 3 months. Why is it still up on our website?
Yes.
Or another thing is that I've learned from you is that we need to find out that the thing that we thought our customers wanted last year, we now have the information available, whether we use it or know it or not, but we now have the information to find out what they really wanted.
Yes.
And make sure we have that front.
Yes,
center.
Yes, absolutely.
Instead of what we thought they wanted.
Yes, yes. We call it looking from the outside in rather than the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful channel to be able to gather the voice of your customer to help you direct your products and your service.
This is probably a little bit off of housekeeping, but I wanted to bring this up because you and I talked about this a little bit off the air just now. How idiot-proof should we make our websites? At some point in time, don't we have to say, you know what, the visitor ought to be able to keep up with this?
Mm-hmm.
How far do we go?
Well, I would say, Jim, if the listener is expecting you and I to come, they probably should make it very idiot-proof. No, I think it's like everything else in life. The easier you make it for someone, the more likely they are to do it. So that's why navigation is so important. You know, everyone thought with the advent of programs like Front Page and so on, well, I can create my own website.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, you can, but those skills that make professionals as far as knowing how to set up a navigation structure, how to make sure that the links are intuitive, how to what we call bucket the information so that the header is, I find what I expect to find when I click on that header.
Well, I hear you, but you know, I can build an automobile too, but I shouldn't.
Right, exactly. So, and it doesn't, a lot of it is common sense. For example, you know, you can use yourself. How many things can you remember at once before you have to get out a piece of paper and write it down? And that generally should guide your navigation. If you can't remember 20 things, you probably shouldn't have 20 things. You should categorize it so that they only have to remember 5.
Isn't one of the things we can do to help our visitors is to try to be as intuitive with our imagery and with our links as we can be?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, there are subtle things. There are colors and sound. You know, when you go to the parking garage and they paint the wall purple as you're getting
right.
on the elevator?
Right.
That's to help you remember that I'm on the purple floor. And then, of course, on the elevator, they have the colors right there to remind you as well, too. Same thing with your website. You can use color to help guide people into which main category section they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's subtle. It doesn't have to be blatant. You don't have to look like the rainbow on your website.
Right.
But there certainly are things you can do using color to help people understand where they are.
Give us your website one more time, Jorian.
Oh, boy. Come back and look at it in 3 weeks because it will actually practice what we preach.
Right.
But the website is www.spectracom.com.
Yeah. Check that out, folks, when you get a chance. And then go back and look at it in 3 weeks, and you'll learn some lessons about how to upgrade and spruce up your website. Thanks, Jorian. Good job today.
Thanks much, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Jorian
okay.
Clark, ladies and gentlemen, I promise she'll be back. 29 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Steve Martin. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Yeah, I'm sitting on.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.